That was a blessing. All right, Acts chapter 27, and we'll begin reading at verse 9. Of course, this is a familiar passage of Scripture, Paul being taken by ship to Rome, and of course the Euroclodon, I like that name, don't you, Euroclodon, that takes place, and I want to talk to you about this passage, but not the whole passage, obviously, but just some things out of it that I think will be a help to us. Acts 27 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclodon." Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching tonight and help us, Lord, to realize that we live in dangerous times. Dangerous times that, Father, we need you more than we've ever needed you. I believe we need to walk with you. We need to be close to you. We need to make sure that our decisions are because you have led us, that every step is a step that you've ordered. And it's just truly dangerous times. We need to vote right. We need to, as we think of elections coming up and decisions like that to be made, Father, we need your help. We need to have your guidance in our homes, in our jobs, and everything we do, Lord. We need you in our church because these are certainly dangerous times. Please speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting. In the last few months, we've had references to this passage of Scripture several times. And during my reading, I came across verse 9, and it just hit me. "Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them." Paul, obviously, God had spoken to him and let him know as he prayed and he walked, he let him know this is a dangerous time. It's not a good idea. And Paul even told the people, he said, "Look, I don't think this is a good idea." And but they didn't listen to Paul. And of course, we know what ends up happening there. But it's the dangerous times that caught me. It was a dangerous time. It was a time they felt like they needed to do something. It was a dangerous time. And I believe that we're in a time right now in our lives, in our country, in our world. I believe we're in some dangerous times, and I believe that we have some decisions we need to make. I think, again, that elections are so important. Elections and all that is going on when we tell you, Brother Harnden, of course, gives us a lot of information. Call your senator about this. Call your congressman about that. Call your governor about this, or email them, or let them know. There are some issues that we're going to be talking about in the near future, and we're going to need to do some of those things because we have dangerous times that I believe we're living in. Paul here is a prisoner. He's on his way to Rome, and they stopped at the fair havens, and everything seemed to be good all that time, but now it's time for bad weather to come in. It's a dangerous time. But the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship, and so obviously he made his decision. He made a decision Paul did not think was a good idea. God said it was a bad time. It was a tough time. But at any rate, the trip ends up being a total disaster. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't think anybody here wants their life to be a disaster. I don't think anybody here wants your life, your future, anything like that. I don't think we want our government. I don't think we want our country to be different and changed and more liberal. And I think because there are dangerous times ahead and that we're in dangerous times, we need to get a walk with God like Paul had, where we recognize, hey, wait a minute, maybe we need to think about this. Maybe we need to reevaluate some things. Many people do not listen to wise counsel today. I think of teenagers, I think of young people who just, you know, it's like they don't even seek counsel anymore. Dangerous times. Dangerous times. Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. It's very, very clear that God has told us over and over. And yet, I watch folks making decisions and never seeking counsel at all. Never really, as far as I know, not going to the Word of God for the answer for the decision that you have to make. It's dangerous times. Dangerous times. And I wrote some things down about this this passage of Scripture. The first thing is danger is often inconvenient. It's inconvenient. Notice verse 9. Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said to them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." And so all this time has been spent and maybe wasted, and now it's a bad time. Now this is a bad time. They ought to wait longer, but that's not often convenient. Boy, how many of us would have saved ourselves a lot of trouble if we'd have just waited? I preached this morning on being patient. Amen. Remain under. Remain under. And so many times we'll make that decision that gets us out from under, but it's not the right decision because we're supposed to remain under. You know, danger often comes in an inconvenient time. You know, we're just not willing to wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 31. You know the verse, Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 31, and the Bible talks so clearly, we know this verse, we've memorized, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I don't think anybody in this room wants to faint. I don't think anybody wants to faint when they're supposed to be busy serving God. But sometimes it's that waiting on the Lord. Sometimes it's but I want to do this or I want to do that. And danger, you know, it's often inconvenient. Well, I don't want to wait. Paul says, hey, we need to. No. The centurion, you know, I've got a schedule I've got to keep and I want to do this now. Boy, don't if you ever feel like you're backed in a corner and you just have to do it now, look out. Look out. Sometimes God is saying, wait. I preach all the time about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And if he has not ordered that step, then don't take that step. If he has not said, do this, then don't do this. I'm thinking of folks that are buying things. I'm thinking about people that are you know, they're looking at job situations. Any number of things. These are dangerous times. Satan wants to get everybody confused and looking all this way and that way. And it's time that sometimes we just have to say, God, I need your help. I need your help. And they that wait upon the Lord, that's what we need to do, is go to God and wait on the Lord. Patience isn't laziness necessarily. Don't confuse the two. Sometimes we are better off. It will save us a lot of trouble. You know, we want to make that quick decision. We want to make that decision that maybe is the most popular thing. We've got to learn to wait upon the Lord, because danger is often inconvenient. You know, people go bankrupt in business because of a quick wrong decision. People on the highway sometimes, you know, they'll drive because they're in a big hurry. And I don't know if you've seen people before, they pass you when it's snowing real bad, and boy, they go by you like you're sitting still, and it's not long, and you see that same car in a ditch. And you think, you know, if you just would have been patient, if you just would have waited, if you just, you know, but it's inconvenient for me. I want this now. I've got to do it now. Or this is, you know, this is an opportunity. It's like we were talking about the emails that we all get, you know, from Prince Alibaba in Ethiopia. Right? And he has $8 million and he's got to do something with it. And he just happened to find my name. Amen. While he found your name. And all he really wants, he doesn't really care about our name. He wants our bank account because he's going to deposit $8 million in our account. And we sit there and we actually think about it. Right? Right. You know, why? Well, because we need buses. That's why. We need to build this and we need to do that. And missions needs money. And, well, I'd just like to be rich. Right? Listen to me. Be patient and wait on God. Because it's that pressure of the inconvenience, you know? Paul says, you waited. Now it's a dangerous time. Don't do this. Now it's a dangerous time. Maybe it'd be better if we waited a little bit and we do it another time. You know, again, the centurion was very restless. You know, we get restless sometimes. You know, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And this just about cost these people their lives. Danger is often inconvenient. Number two, danger is often inconceivable. Notice in verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion, who did he believe? He believed the master and the owner of the ship. You know, he took the expert advice. Well, then this can't be bad. You know, you're not a sailor. And by the way, Paul wasn't a sailor. But he was a man of God. You know, we need to be very careful of experts. You know, the experts have us doing this. The experts have us doing that. And we kind of follow that stuff. Well, you know, the experts say that you ought to invest in this. The experts say that you ought to buy and rent to people. The experts say, and they keep saying and keep saying and keep saying. I often wonder why the experts, you know, especially the money experts, why they work for anybody. Because if you're a money expert, why wouldn't you just be rich and forget about working? Anyway. You know, the expert advice, because danger is often, come on. The master of the ship said, this is a good time to go. He's an expert. He knows his ship. Well, he knew his ship, but he didn't know Euroclodon. Amen. I'm always interested in how unspiritual will seek the advice of unspiritual. Because when unspiritual seek the advice of unspiritual, they always get one thing, and it's always true, an unspiritual answer. I mean, honestly, person after person, years that I've been pastoring, person after person goes to the doctor, and if the doctor is totally unsaved, unspiritual, not interested in Christian things, he says to that person, hey, you need to take a break. And the person says, really? Well, I got to work. Yes, you can't work. You've got to find something to cut out. And what do they always start cutting out? Your ministries. I hear it all the time. Well, my doctor said I shouldn't. And they name the bus ministry. They name soul winning. They name, you know, activities they're doing in the church. You know, the doctor doesn't ever say cut out going to the ball games. Well, you know, what do you do during the week? Well, I go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night. Well, that's too much. But he's an expert. These are dangerous times. My Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So much the more as we see the day approach. As the times become more and more dangerous, we need each other. I'll be honest with you. You ought to stick around tonight and eat a brownie and ice cream. Or if you happen to be on a certain diet, then just stick around and fellowship. Why? Because it's dangerous times. Have you ever thought, if we're supposed to remain under from this morning's message of patience, if we're supposed to remain under, wouldn't it be nice to have somebody kind of helping you with that burden? Amen. I mean, seriously, sitting down with a brownie and ice cream and talking a little bit might be just exactly what you need. Not the brownie and the ice cream so much, but just somebody to help carry the load. I don't know how many people come in and they sit down and they seek counsel and they sit and they talk. Pastor, this, and I know the Bible says this, and I just sit there go, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, Mm-hmm. 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 And after a while, they say, wow, thank you so much. You helped me so much. I think I can make it now. And we pray and they walk out and they tell people, boy, Pastor, what a counselor. And I just listened. Do you understand? Somebody will listen to you. Somebody will help you. But you have to realize there is danger around there, and counselors and others, people around you, they might be able to spot a little better than you. I don't know how many times I've done two very stupid things where my wife said, honey, you shouldn't do that. Most of the time when she says, honey, I'm not sure that's a good idea, I listened to her. Two times I did not listen to her, and both times were a disaster. How many of you men will admit that? You know what I'm talking about. All right. Several, yeah, I know. No. But, you know, honestly, if we would just find somebody. Oh, but the expert said I need to invest in, or the expert says I need to vote for, or my union told me that I. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, and you won't sink the ship. Again, we know what happens here. The ship sinks. Literally, it's obliterated on the rocks. And we won't even get to that because we know that. But the truth is, they never saw that, though Paul told them that. And they just, you know. What's the truth? The truth is the centurion wanted to do what he wanted to do, and it didn't matter what Paul said. He found somebody that would say, ship is strong, it can go through anything. Well, that wasn't true. Paul's advice, don't go. And basically the centurion said, hey, you stick to preaching, you leave sailing to us. When God, you know, God sometimes, he says, don't listen to the experts. Listen to me. Danger is often inconceivable. We're preaching all kinds of things. Hey, look out, folks! The homosexual crowd is out to destroy us. Now listen to me. Do not hate anybody. When everybody you can to Jesus Christ. And when I talk about the crowd, I'm not talking about somebody that you happen to know. I'm talking about that crowd that is out to destroy what we stand for. Our families, our homes, husbands and wives. They cannot accept. Why? Because it's not their lifestyle. Now they say, well, you can live the way you want to live and just leave us alone. They're not leaving us alone. And it's being pushed. And we said it was going to be pushed. We preached it for years and years. And people said, oh, no, 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 no. They're harmless. They're not going to hurt anybody. Don't worry about that. And I'm telling you, these are the kinds of things that are going to hurt churches and Christian schools. And we better understand it's dangerous times. These are dangerous times. If people would have listened to the preachers of years ago, we preach about humanism. And the humanistic teaching has been in our schools for years now, in our colleges and all the way down. And this humanistic philosophy of man is the measure of all things. And the first thing that affects is trying to get somebody lost. And any soul winner will tell you, anyone who's been a soul winner for years, they'll tell you, it's harder and harder to get somebody lost. Why? Because they've been brainwashed into thinking somehow they can do without God. It's dangerous times. And the danger is inconceivable to so many. It's like, oh no, we're all right, we're okay. And then there may be some older folks who just say, well, you know, at least I'm going to make it. Boy, you remind me of people in the Bible that said, well, as long as it happens to my grandkids and not to me. Well, as long as peace and safety is in our time, it's what the Jews said. Danger, it's often inconceivable. We cannot see it. And yet preachers, I have preached for years and years and years about some of the things we're seeing happen. And it's it's like we see it now. I got how many emails and texts about the pastors having to turn their sermons in, subpoenaed to turn in their sermons in Houston, Texas, their messages about the homosexual issue and civil rights. People said, "Pastor, do you know about this? Hey, listen to me. This kind of stuff's been going on for years. But see, now we have people that have businesses saying, wait a minute, am I gonna have to do something that compromises what I believe?" Yeah, many have had to close their shops. Again, it's not because we hate anybody. It's not because we want to fight with anybody. It's just, can you do these things? And it's dangerous times. And we ignored voting. We put it off. We put it aside. We didn't worry about it. We said, we got other things to do. And it was just inconceivable that this danger could ever be on us. Why? Because the experts said everything would be all right. And there's still a whole bunch of experts saying, we have a whole group of Republicans now in the state of Michigan that are saying, oh, no, we've got this all covered. They're not going to hurt you. And I guarantee you, there's going to be some man go in our ladies' restroom and they'll put it to a test. Now, I'm just saying, folks, you better understand this isn't just some preacher trying to make an issue. This is an issue. We live in dangerous times. And it doesn't matter what the experts say. The experts have said for years now. In fact, nowadays you can't even talk about spanking your kids and people look at you like you're some kind of a criminal. There was a day that if people didn't spank their kids, a majority looked at them like they were a criminal. And today, can't even talk about it. You say, well, there are other methods. There aren't any other methods that God gave. Now, I'm not saying just go home and spank your kid. I'm saying the right discipline is what God said. I can't park here. I got too much to do. But it's often inconceivable. How could this be dangerous? I mean, come on. But the Bible's very clear. Sailing was now dangerous. We live in dangerous times. Number three, danger is often ignored. Often ignored. Why was it ignored here? And it is interesting. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in. Oh, there it is right there. He wasn't able to get all of his games on the TV there. He had to go further. That was it. It wasn't commodious. It wasn't. It didn't have his favorite restaurants there. He wanted to go on to the next place. I'm sure it was some spiritual thing. The haven was not commodious to winter in. The more part advised to depart. They all got together and said, "Hey, wait a minute. We don't want to be here. It's not as comfortable." And danger is often ignored. It's ignored. Why? Listen, God's will is more important than anything. When God called me to go to Bible college, it was very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. I was a new Christian. In fact, I'm glad I was a new Christian. Because the more I watch older Christians, the more I think that's why they don't ever go. I don't know what happens. I don't know what goes through our brains, but the most dangerous place for me to be is out of the will of God. The most dangerous place for you to be is anywhere outside of the will of God. And danger often is ignored because it's more comfortable. Now, if seriously, if we didn't have heat or air conditioning, if we didn't have, you know, we had a wood stove for heat, and we didn't have padded pews, and we didn't have nice things and carpet and all those kind of, you know, well, I wonder what would happen to folks. If we had to sit on a bench that had no back to it and had to sit during church, like many Christians have, many Christians do. But the most important thing in the world is to be right where God wants you to be. And nowhere else. But danger is often ignored. That's why our young people don't go to Bible colleges. Even though they got on an altar one time when they were the closest to God they've ever been. I talked to them, you know. They're at a camp, they're at a conference. You say, well, that's just emotion. No, that's not emotion, that's God. Take away the TV, take away the radio, take away the magazines, take away the peer pressure, and just put them alone with God and the Bible and preaching and watch them make decisions. Those are almost always the right decisions. But then they get home and they think, oh, you know, being a missionary, that's not going to be very fun. Oh, going to Bible college, that isn't going to be very fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Danger is often ignored because it's not, because it's easier to avoid it than to be uncomfortable. So we just say, well, you know, the Bible, just preaching the Word, the old-fashioned Word of God. Just preaching the Bible. That's not comfortable. I sat and listened to preachers. I told you, at Marion Baptist Temple, that old preacher, he had a vein right here. And he'd get to preach, and that vein would pop out. You could almost get his pulse. You know, just while he's preaching, just watch. I mean, that vein, it was just amazing to watch. And he'd get to yelling and screaming. And I mean, every message was my sin. And if he wasn't hitting my sin, he was hitting my wife's sin. But, well, you're the one that was tugging on your miniskirt. That's all I'm saying. But you know, that was, but you know, that was, anything outside of there, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. Hey, there were lots of churches to go to back then. But anywhere else but there, where God had led us, that's dangerous. Well, there's a roaring lion. There's a devil as a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. I better stay where I'm in the will of God, even though it may not be comfortable. And it wasn't always comfortable. Yeah. Danger is often ignored. Number four, danger is often incompatible. It's often incompatible. Notice here, verse 12, it says, the more part advised to depart thence also. Hey, just because the more part decided to do it doesn't make it right. Well, the majority says, that doesn't mean it's right. You know, the old bandwagon philosophy, well, it looks like everybody's doing it. Well, if we do what everybody's doing, we're really in trouble. Amen. Yeah, but the more part, yeah, it's often incompatible. You remember Noah was just one with his family, and he did what God said to do. It was unpopular when Noah built his ark. Bible indicates in Hebrews people were angry about that. It upset the people of that ark made people mad. His preaching made people mad. Daniel stood and got thrown in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't the majority. The majority bowed down, but they wouldn't. Doesn't matter what the majority do. Don't base your decision on popularity in the majority. Just do what's right. Sometimes to avoid the danger, to get out of the danger, you're going to have to go alone. And I'll be honest, it's lonely alone. You say, well, that's, you know, no, you need to think about that. Because we don't like it. We don't like it. Notice Proverbs 1 and verse 10. Right in the beginning of Proverbs, as he's dealing with wisdom and talking about wisdom, Proverbs 1 and verse 10. And a lot of times we read this and we think verse 10 is for children. I don't know how many times I've heard parents give them verse 10, a child, and say, now, children, get this verse. And the parents don't pay a bit of attention to it. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, there it is. There's that crowd. There's that majority. But what are they doing? Let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. And here they're talking about going together and robbing somebody. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. We'll share it together. Hey, we're a big group. Follow us. And God says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Get away, God says. And he says in 2 Corinthians 6, come out from among them and be separate. Amen. And you find yourself alone. We tell our kids to do right. Do you understand in doing right, sometimes it's going to leave them alone. Sometimes when all the other kids are together and they're talking about this or that and it's not right, your child may have to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to talk about that. But of course, that's what dad should do at work and mom should do with the ladies. Hey, I'm not going to talk about that. But it's dangerous times. And danger is often incompatible. Don't base your decision on the majority. Don't act based on what everybody else is doing. We have a book that tells us what to do and how to do it, and we need to do right. I said, number one, danger is often inconvenient. Number two, danger is often inconceivable. Number three, danger is often ignored. Number four, danger is often incompatible. Number five, danger is often invisible. What do you mean? Verse 13. Boy, what a day. You know, Paul says, don't go, don't go. These are dangerous times. Don't go. And he's just a prisoner. But it says, when the south wind blew softly and the danger was gone, there is no way in this world. Blizzard Bill says, it's going to be a beautiful day. And look, the wind is blowing softly. Oh, man. The president said that Ebola is not like the flu. You cannot get it through the air. You have to dippeth yourself somehow into fluids. Diarrhea, vomit. It's not like the flu. But they all say to stay 3 feet away. Can you explain that to me? Achoo? Huh. I guess that is fluid. But doesn't that chew go everywhere? Why is it that people that had gloves and masks and body armor and everything else on, why? How did they get it? But you know, it's safe. Everything's safe. It's okay. Now again, I'm not going to worry about that, and I hope you don't worry about it either. I'm just telling you, danger is often invisible. 9/11, remember, Twin Towers. That day, people got on a plane. How many of you have ever gotten on a plane? Okay, most of us here have. We get on a plane, we think nothing of it. We think, now, since then, we do kind of look around at people. But on that day, People got on those planes, they didn't think a thing of it. People went to work, went all the way to the top story, top floor of those twin towers. They went to work like they always did. Didn't think a thing of it. Do you understand? Firemen, when they were called, they went in that building, never thought a thing about it. It's what we do. Danger is often invisible. And just like in verse 13, the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. They went ahead and left because the south wind blew softly. I got news for you. The south wind can blow softly, and it can change like that. And I'm telling you, folks, it's dangerous times we live in. It's dangerous times. You cannot trust politicians. That's why we need our Bibles. That's why we need voter guides to help us a little bit. But I'm telling you, I don't care what the person's party is. You get on your knees before God and say, God, what do I do? What do I do? How do I vote? I need to know, because these are very dangerous times. And the danger doesn't jump up and wave at you. Hi, I'm danger. It just doesn't do that. Most of you know that I'm allergic to iodine. Iodine is always in shellfish, shrimp. When I was young, I ate shrimp. I loved shrimp. Until one day I ate shrimp and my throat swelled shut. That's really inconvenient. If you don't think so, choke yourself. No, don't. Somebody will go, oh, no, stop. But, you know, we were at a certain establishment here in town, and somehow something like shrimp got in my salad. And I was just eating my salad along, and all of a sudden, I knew exactly what was going on. My throat started swelling shut. And I said something to the waitress. I said, what is in this salad? And she said, it's not nothing. There's no way. It's impossible. I said, I'm telling you, there's shrimp in that, and I'm going to die, you know. And I told her, I said, it will totally affect your tip. Folks, you got to understand, we've got to be walking with God. We have to be close to God. We have to be listening to God and listening to preaching, because danger is often invisible, and things that look good. You understand, the fruit on the tree that Adam and Eve ate, it looked good. It wasn't nasty. If it was nasty looking, they wouldn't have eaten it. If the serpent had looked like a serpent after the curse, they'd have run. But the serpent was a beautiful animal. Sin always looks good till it's done its work. Then it doesn't look so good. Danger is often invisible. That's why it's so important. You know, as teenagers start getting jobs and all of a sudden they're missing church and they're not in church, and adults do the same thing. You need to understand, these are dangerous times. I could tell you story after story after story of somebody getting that job, that wonderful job, and they said, but I won't be able to go to church. And it's not long, and the danger is not invisible anymore. They see it clearly as their life is being destroyed. Let me give you one more thing and we'll be done. And that is number six, danger is often irreversible. Dangerous times. Notice verse 14. Not long after what? After the south wind blew softly. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. There was nothing they could do. There are people that will argue wrong decisions over and over and over and over. And finally, in verse 15, the Bible says, when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and everything is totally out of control. I've watched life after life after life go totally out of control. It's so interesting as this goes on, that verses 18 and 19, we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. All of a sudden, cargo's not so valuable anymore when she's just out of control. And it's amazing what gets thrown away, what gets thrown out. Folks, it's dangerous times. We need to be wise. We need to walk with God. We need to read our Bibles. We need to make sure that we seek counsel, godly wisdom and counsel. You know, but you know, the majority are doing this, and the Republican Party said, phooey. Verse 20, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. It was a hopeless time. But Paul says, but after a long absence, Paul, what do you suppose he was doing? I don't think he was checking with Blizzard Bill to see when, you know, how it looked on the radar. You know, Paul spent some time with God. And he tells them, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. By the way, good news, wasn't so hot. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, nobody's going to die, but the ship's gone. They had to be thinking, we're all going to die. No, everything's okay. You're going to make it, but we're going to lose the ship. We're in an ocean. We're in a sea here. What do you mean we're going to lose the ship and we're still going to make it? You know, there's sharks out there and there's a storm raging. And Paul said, you wouldn't listen to me before. Listen to me now. You know, you may be caught in the whirlpool. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you and pray for you and try to help you. I'm just saying, when it seems hopeless, God can always, always help us in those times. I don't know how many times I've told you about, I made two very bad decisions, and I wouldn't even call them sinful. They just were stupid. They're stupid and then they're sinful, all right? And sometimes stupid, well, anyway. But they were a long time ago, but God's so good. God's so good. You say, why didn't you listen to your wife? Stupid. Why don't you listen? I will tell you this, don't be stupid. Dangerous times are dangerous times. And it doesn't matter how inconvenient it may be. It doesn't matter if it's inconceivable to you. You just can't figure out why this would be wrong. You can't figure out, everything I read, everything I've seen, it all looks good. You ignore what the preacher says. You ignore what the Bible says. You know, the crowd says this, and you can't see the problem. You just don't get it. Listen. You can avoid so much sorrow in your life if you'll just realize these are dangerous times. These are not times for us just to flippantly go out and do anything we want to do and just go out and spend and buy and do and vote and just whatever it may be. These are dangerous times. Everything matters. Everything counts. And what we do today, okay, you know, I'm 56 years old. And we're going to live to be 100, so we have 44 years to go, 44 years and several months. You don't want to die on your 100th birthday. So you know, we may make it and not have to see all those hard times. But what about Matthew? Huh? What about Jolynn? What about Jacob? What about Andrew? Okay. You say, well, you know, we might. What about their kids? What about Berean Baptist Church? See, I'm just saying, it's not just about us getting by. Well, we make it. No, it's not about, what about them? That's it's dangerous times. Dangerous times that we're living in today. We must walk with our God, read our Bibles faithfully, be faithful to church, seek godly counsel. And I'm not talking about just the pastor. I'm talking about godly. There's people all over this room that walk with God and won't just tell you what you want to hear. They won't just tell you, oh, well, you need to vote this way because this is what I think. They will. There's people that will say, you know, I'll pray with you. I'll try to help you. I'll guide you. I'll help you. Teenagers, you never are by yourself as long as you're in Berean Baptist Church. There are people, there are wise people all over this room that can help you. And yet, I guarantee somebody will walk out that door and you got your mind made. Well, I'm just going to do what I want, you know, and you're going to mess up. Please, I beg you, these are dangerous times. Let's be wise. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.